Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. And as you're coming in and settling down, how about speaking to your neighbors next to you, across the aisle from you, behind you, in front of you, some folks that maybe you don't see on a regular basis? Now, if you would please, let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation on the top inside of your bulletin. There are several important things I'd like to call to your attention. Of course, as usual, the calendar on the back of your bulletin and the calendar in your newsletter. Please check it so that you don't miss any important events. We're entering a very important and sacred part of the church calendar in the next few weeks. So please make a note that you don't miss anything. First of all, the Lenten pilgrimage this week will be at First Baptist Church. And you know the routine. The worship service is in the middle at 12:35, with lunch served at 12, and then again at 1. You will notice in your bulletin the announcement about an ER training, early response team training class that's going to be held. Please make a note of that. I want to call to your attention the confirmand class. There are boxes outside this side door of the church. Please write a note and put it in the boxes for these young folks who are joining the church. That's a very important recognition of them and for the step that they're taking joining our church family. So we want to make them feel welcome and let them know that we care about them. So put a note in their box, and you don't have to give them a big gift. Just put a note in there and welcome to Main Street as an official member of the church. I also want to call to your attention the walkthrough for Palm Sunday next week. All of the children of the church are invited to participate. You need to be in the sanctuary about 9:45 so that you can practice and know what you're supposed to do. Another reminder is that we always do flowers for the cross on Easter Sunday. This Easter, the children are going to be involved in special Easter activities over in the Asbury Gym. So they need to come with their parents. They won't be meeting in specific Sunday school classes. And normally the Sunday school classes take the flowers and put them on the cross. So parents, you need to be responsible for helping your children put the flowers on the cross this Sunday, because they're going to be doing other Easter activities prior to the church service. A reminder for the United Methodist Women's General Meeting, it's on the 18th at 6 p.m. And then the next night, the United Methodist Men will be meeting on the 19th at 5:30. We would like to invite the men to come and hear Jason Ballantyne, one of our own, speak on perseverance. So put that on your calendar and make a note. And I want to call to your attention two other things relating to our worship services in the next 2 weeks. First of all, in your newsletter, there is a list of items that they would like to borrow for the Maundy Thursday service. If you would please look at that in the newsletter, and if you have something that you can loan the church for the service, we would appreciate that very much. I also want to remind you of the prayer labyrinth. The church is doing something a little bit different during Holy Week. Come and check it out. There's a meditative prayer labyrinth that will be set up in the Asbury Gym, and we'd like to encourage you to participate in that. And of course, a reminder to everyone who has to rehearse for the special Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday musicals that they're doing. Make sure that you or your children, or you and your children, are present for the rehearsals. Larry has already gotten information to everybody, so just make a note to mark it on your calendar, parents, because you've got to get your kids here for the rehearsals. Now, let us continue our worship as the acolytes enter the sanctuary with the light of Christ.
For those who are able, please stand for the call to worship. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
During the Lenten season, we are including the call to confession. They are included at other times during the year, but especially during this Lenten season are we having a time of confession. It's printed in your bulletin. God has promised to restore us to joy and wholeness if we acknowledge our sins and seek forgiveness. Therefore, remembering that there is forgiveness with God, whom we revere, let us ask God to take us by the hand and lead us to the throne of grace. Praying together, have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love, for we know our sins and we cannot overlook them. We have failed to put our complete confidence in you. We rely on prestige and past success, reputation. We look to the wealth and power of nations for support. We cling to the things and you know, surpass all else. Wash us, heal us, teach us to honor you with truth. Let us know the joy and gladness of your saving grace, that we may have life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us have a moment of silent confession as we make our own personal confessions to God. God has promised to forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more. Let us set our minds on the Spirit and give praise to the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Our epistle reading this morning is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, and we'll be from the 8th chapter, verses 6 through 11. And you can find this on page 191 of the New Testament section in your Pew Bible. Paul is letting us, in contrasting the difference between a life of the flesh and the life of the spirit. He says that the life of the flesh draws on the sin and leads to death, and the life of the spirit, which draws on the spirit of Christ, leads to righteousness. Listen now for God's word to us today. To set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set in the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you are not in the flesh, then you are in the Spirit. And since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
few weeks ago, we were in the process of making plans for our consecration Sunday that we had last week. And we had scheduled it for this Sunday. And I was informed by the committee that this would be one of our least attended Sundays because so many of our members go to the Masters. And I watched the Masters the last few days, and I haven't seen any of them playing in it. So I wonder where they are. But anyway, just so you know, and not endeavoring to steal anyone's thunder, and just so you do have a tidbit of insight, that we had 62, as of my last count, my last time that I was informed, we had 62 more pledges last Sunday than we had last year. So we the mail-outs have gone out, and we'll be getting those back. And so in the number, the final number will be tallied. But I just feel like we need to give you a little insight of what's going on. You see the prayer concerns that are listed, and was informed that Jay Pendergrass has walking pneumonia, which they say goes along with this treatment. And we continue to hold him up in our prayers. But you see the prayer concerns that are listed, and let us now be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we still ourselves in this beautiful place, on this blessed Sunday morning, thanking you again for the privilege to unite our hearts and our minds, our bodies together, here with this our family of faith, a place that is familiar to many of us. A place where we have come and have felt your presence. A place that we have come to throughout the various ages and stages of our life. To be here. To hear the choir as they sing, and to unite our voices in praise as we join in singing the blessed hymns of the church. Thank you, Almighty God, for your presence. Thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of your Son who came into the world to save sinners like us. For the faith that we have that nurtures and sustains and reaches out. And we pray for our surrounding community. For the good news that is shared there. For the realities of sin that also resides. Help us, Almighty God, to be the beacon of light, reaching out to those around us. Here in the center of Greenwood and in the surrounding communities from whence we commute, help us, dear God, again, to be the light of the gospel of Christ. And we pray for these whose names are printed in our bulletin and for those who have been mentioned to us this morning. We pray for hurting hearts everywhere. For those who are lonely and lost. Those who are sick and hurting. For those who are hungry and naked. Dear God, we pray for the children of the world. for those who have gone to faraway lands to proclaim your holy word as missionaries, and those who proclaim your word here at home, and for those who serve our country at home and abroad, those in leadership over our great church, our bishops, and those civil authorities, we pray that you will be with them. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithing offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
Amen. Good morning. Aha. Come on down this way, boys and girls. We're going to meet near our Lenten table today, our Lenten altar. And I've got a prop I want you to help me to identify. Come on down. Who can tell me what this item... Oh, no, you might need this. Can I use your arm to demonstrate this? Come here just a second. You let me wrap this around you? Okay. I am going to need a little volunteer. Who can tell me what this item is used for? What's it used for? Well, let's just see. Let's start it right here. This is an ACE bandage. Can you help me wrap that so I can have one hand free? And it's used when you have a wound that needs to be covered. Now do it really tightly. Or a sprain that needs to be held tightly. And the doctor will wind this just like you're doing, round and round and round until it is very tight and secure, just like that. But it, you know what, after a while, it can get really itchy underneath there. And it can start to feel really tight. So the doctor will finally remove it, just like that. And imagine what a great sense of relief and freedom that is, especially if it's been on there a month or several days. It would be a great sense of relief because you're no longer bound by these tight bandages and your wound is healed. The Bible tells us of a man named Lazarus who was a really good friend of Jesus. One day Lazarus became very, very sick. And his two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent for Jesus, hoping that Jesus would be able to heal Lazarus. But Jesus was in a nearby town, and he was unable to come and see Lazarus. So he finally became so sick that he died. And when Jesus was able to finally come to the town where Lazarus was and check on Lazarus, his sister Martha met him and said that Lazarus had already died, and he was already buried in the tomb. Well, this made Jesus very, very sad because they were very good friends. He asked Mary and Martha to take him to Lazarus's tomb. Now, in those days when a person died, they would bind this person with strips of cloth, much like an ACE bandage, kind of like you think of a mummy on Halloween. Have any of you ever dressed up like a mummy on Halloween? Kind of like that. A princess? Yeah. And you probably didn't have an ACE bandage, but it's kind of like, you've probably seen a mummy though, haven't you? On a scary movie or something like that. They've got strips of cloth that go all the way around. Well, when they arrived at the tomb, Jesus shouted, "Lazarus, come out!" And guess what? He did. Can you imagine how wonderful and what a great sense of freedom that would be for Lazarus? And they told the others, Jesus told the others to unbind him from his grave cloth, and they did. And imagine how that felt, how freeing that felt. Jesus is like the doctor who removes our bandages. He's the ultimate healer and physician. Not even death could bind Lazarus once Jesus had performed this miracle. Today is the fifth Sunday in Lent, and we have as a symbol our strips of cloth that we're going to put on the altar. Would you do that for me? Would you lay it and arrange it with the other symbols that we have up there? This strip of cloth helps us to symbolize that we, because we believe in Jesus Christ and in His resurrection, that we too can be free to have eternal life. Can we pray together? Dear God, thank you for the freedom we have to worship and for your promise of eternal life. Amen.
Forty-five verses that would be read in our gospel lesson. I'm going to allow you to be seated, and then we will. You can read these at home today during your time of reflection if you so choose. But it's the story, as you've already heard, of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. One young minister decided that he would, every time he had an issue in the church, that he would go and find out how Jesus dealt with the issue. And so when he had his first funeral, he went to check and found out that Jesus didn't do funerals. Jesus did resurrections. And so here is Jesus at the death of a good friend, and Jesus weeps. I remember as a young boy, everybody thought that since my dad was a minister, that I was supposed to know all the answers. And back in the day when we used to have devotionals in public school, before we became so advanced, one young boy came to me and he said, "What's the shortest verse in the Bible?" And I said, "I have no idea." He said, "I think it's Jesus wept." Because it was his duty to read the scripture for the devotional. And so I said, it had to be around the time when Jesus hung on the cross, because it seemed like to me he'd be weeping. But it wasn't. It was at the death of a friend. I remember the first time that I had a funeral as a young minister. I went to the church and sat on the back pew and sobbed. Enoch Finkley, one of my good friends who is now deceased, was one of our winners of the Denman Evangelism Award as a pastor. took a small circuit down in Pillion one time, and the deal was that he would go there and stay 1 year. Enoch wound up staying there, and CJ probably, or Diamond, probably one of them knows the answer better than me, but he stayed at least 15 years, maybe longer, serving those 3 points called a circuit. And I remember as CJ was preaching, and he was a fantastic preacher, and he was talking about going to a beautician to get his hair cut and discovered that the lady who cut his hair had lost a child. And CJ said, I held her hand and wept. I think about those incidences in life when we cry. We have a camp up on Lake Hartwell called Camp Providence. And Charlie Dudley, who very well may be listening on the radio in Cross Hill as a disabled now retired Methodist minister, had brought his young people to Camp Providence, and his young person was the head of the football and the captain of the football team. He was head of his MYF, and there at the camp, that young boy drowned. I brought all the young people to my house, the parsonage there at Oroville, and as the parents came and picked these young children up, and when the last one had left and Charlie was getting ready to leave, and he reached around and he hugged my neck, he said, you forget a lot of times the people that you laugh with, but you don't forget the people that you cry with. I think about the times that we cry. Sometimes as parents, sometimes as church members, sometimes as members of society, young minister went to the church, went to the family rather of a deceased, and he thought since he had graduated from seminary that he had all the answers. And so he decided that when he went to the house of the family of the chairperson of the board that he would read the 23rd Psalm and talk about how the Lord leads us and guides us through the valley of the shadow of death, and said when he got there he broke down, started sobbing. The family that he went to minister to was a family now that was ministering to him, and he was so embarrassed. He was supposed to have been the pastor. He was supposed to have been the one in charge. It embarrassed him so badly that he went to see the DS and he said, please move me next year. I have failed. So he was moved. At annual conference, he would see members of this family, and year after year, he would hide from them when he saw them and slip away, embarrassed about how he had responded at the time of their sorrow. Until one day he met the family and they had him cornered and he couldn't escape. And they came to him and they said, we want you to know, of all the pastors that we have ever had, you have always been the dearest to our hearts. This was the family that he thought he had failed. He said, why? He said, because you were the one that wept with us. At the time of our greatest sorrow, you were touched. Last week, we had a celebration Sunday. And as I think about that Sunday, and as I think about what it means to be the church, Jesus wept here at the tomb of Lazarus because of his love, apparently, for this family. We as a church, as a family, are called together with Christ to not only to receive love, for God is love, but also to give love, to share this hope that we have received. As we look at this passage of Scripture and reflect on it in our minds and think about what it means to be the church, we understand that Christ is still doing resurrections. There are still those who come out of the midst of all types of tombs. Tombs of defeat, tombs of doubt, tombs of sorrow, of hopelessness, of addiction, of infidelities. And Christ looks, I feel in my heart, and he calls for us to come out of those tombs. But you understand that there are things that we need to respond to. The first was that Jesus said to them, roll away the stone. Here was the Son of God. And we know, prior to the temptations that he could have turned us stone, as we have here with our children's sermon, the stone into bread. He turned the water into wine. He could have moved the stone, but he said, you roll away the stone. And then when Lazarus comes forth, he says, you let loose him. You let him go. Christ is still doing resurrections. But as I shared with my young people this morning, there are certain things that God won't do for us. And no matter how hard I prayed on that geography or history test, Charleston still is not the capital of South Carolina. And if I don't study, then chances are I am not going to make a very good grade on a test, no matter how much I pray. There are certain things that God expects us to do. And he said to those around, you loose Lazarus and let him go. So we come here, yes, maybe to be resurrected, yes. We come here to be loved, yes. But we come here also to love and to loosen. And to be a part of this resurrection. May God guide us here at Main Street. As we embrace now this new giving year, as we participate in what prayerfully is a new and exciting resurrection for us in this coming giving year. Amen. Sacrament of Communion is included in your bulletin. Remind you again as we start our reading, and as it's included in our liturgy, but also for you to hear from me, that whether you are a member of this church or not, you are welcome at this table, and we invite you to come. As John Wesley said, if your heart is as our heart, give me your hand. This table is open to all who confess Jesus Christ, Jesus as the Christ, and seek to follow Christ's way. Come to this sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come to this table, then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is spread for you and me, that we might again know that God has come to us, shared our common lot, and invited us to join the people of God's new age. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, our Alpha and Omega, whose strong and loving arms encompass the universe. For with you, the eternal Word and Holy Spirit, you are forever one God. Through your Word, you created all things and called them good. And in you we live and move and have our being. When we fell into sin, you did not desert us. You made covenant with your people Israel and spoke through prophets and teachers. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is Jesus Christ, who called you Abba, Father. As a motherly tender gathers her children, you embrace a people of your own and fill them with a longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. In Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead this same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory, and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of the new covenant. On the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread and gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to you, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts, that in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as a body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. As the grain and grapes once dispersed in the fields are now united on this table in bread and wine, so may we and all your people be gathered from every time and place into the unity of your eternal household and feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now, as beloved children of a loving parent, we pray, Christ Jesus, our living bread, we praise your mercy in the memorial of your love, as we keep in mind your life, death, and resurrection. Let our Eucharistic banquet enable us to share with one another the goodness and love you have showered upon us. We ask this in your name. It's a cup of promise. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and eat. The banquet awaits. I invite those who are assisting me this morning. Let us stand together and pray the prayer following communion. Praying together for the healing you have given us in the brokenness of bread and the pouring out of cup, we thank you for the community that you have restored in us through the sharing of life. We thank you for the courage and strength that you have promised to us, even as we have honored the ones of courage in our own paths. We thank you. Send us forth from this place, letting justice be worked out with gentleness. Number 384. Receive now the benediction. In this place your healing has begun. Now begins the healing of the world. Go in peace. Reading together. May God bestow on us his grace with blessings rich provide us. And may the brightness of his face to life eternal guide us, that we his gracious work may know, and what is his good pleasure. And to the unbelieving show Christ's riches without measure.